Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturellisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
I extend a very warm welcome to everyone who is gathered here today, and particularly to those who are becoming Australian citizens and those who have come to support you, knowing that citizenship is a gift that grows with sharing.
Welcome to episode 151 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural, which is again coming to you from Australia. As we are celebrating the National Australia Day on 26th of January, this show is almost exclusively about what happens during that day down under. However, I've tried to approach Australia from a European perspective by interviewing English, Swiss, Dutch and Swedish people who have either made this country their home or are visiting the country for an extended period like myself. Of course, you will also listen to many real Aussies because while most visitors had a picture that on Australia Day you should go to the beach, have a barbecue and play cricket, it was only the original Australians who could tell us what this is originally about. So what you've just heard were the words of the Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, during a speech held in Canberra, the capital, to welcome the 13,000 new Australian citizens who have come from 140 different countries from around the world. This is the aspect of Australia Day which I personally like most. The fact that since 1949, every year, all those who've been granted Australian citizenship during the past year are officially welcomed to the community in a huge intercultural celebration. In our first category, Absolutely Australian, we will listen to some Australians talking about the significance of Australia Day in modern times.
I think the government is trying to make us a little bit more patriotic and make us be aware of that we are Australian.
In our second category, Absolutely Nationalistic, I asked European exchange students to compare the abundance of the Australian flags on Australia Day with the attitude to patriotism in their own countries.
Well, in Holland there is a general movement towards a little bit more nationalism. Not publicly, so not in schools because they accept different cultures and religions. But because we have a lot of immigrants who are proud of their nationality and their cultures, that there's this contra movement in Dutch people that they really want to bring out their flags and want to.
In our third category, Absolutely Diverse, I talked to a mother who will speak to her son in at least four or five different languages, depending on the situation she is in.
So, for example, when I tell him off, I usually speak Czech. So that's maybe also...
Is that one of his favorite languages now?
No, probably not. But it is like I chose Czech because hardly anybody can understand Czech. So I don't want anybody to know that I'm telling him off.
Okay.
And he knows when I'm speaking Czech, so it's very serious.
To finish off, in our last category, Absolutely Barbie, I will share with you what my Australian mate Len told me about the unifying qualities of the most Australian of all institutions, the barbecue.
I think what the significance is that doesn't matter what social level you may be on, I believe that always a barbecue is acceptable. Whether you have a barbecue sausage or a barbecue fillet steak is another thing, but a barbecue is always acceptable by any strata of society.
As I get woken up by exotic birds outside my bedroom window every morning, I thought I should record my introduction at this time of the day to share this wonderful experience with you, because this has become my regular Australian alarm clock. Yes, these are actually birds, not monkeys, as I thought on my first morning here, when I was woken up by this incredible noise. And was actually a little frightened because it was so loud. As I live only a couple of hundred meters from the national park, I assumed they must have some kind of noisy monkeys in that park, until I discovered it was birds, such as cockatoos, kookaburras, and some very colorful parrots that I cannot identify. After a month in the country, I actually managed to sleep through this. And if I didn't, I would have to get up at 4:30 every morning when the concert starts. I only learned this week that my class and tutorial next week will not take place because of Australia Day, a national public holiday. So I started asking people what this national day is all about. And I received many, but sometimes very contradictory answers, because while this day is meant to promote and celebrate national unity, it seems that every year it is accompanied by criticism that instead of promoting multiculturalism, by its very history, the arrival of the first fleet at Sydney Cove, where the English settlers put up their flag. Opponents tend to call it Invasion Day and propose to change the national public holiday to another date. Let me share with you what some Australians told me about Australia Day.
Australia Day is a day to reflect and appreciate the laid-back lifestyle that we've come to enjoy in Australia, having barbecues and going to the beach.
Yay, it gives us a free day off work. We get a holiday.
I don't know, it's just a day for a bunch of mates to come together, have a barbecue and drink all day, and for people my age anyway.
What do you think the government is trying to achieve with this? I mean, why is there an Australia Day? What do you think?
I think the government is trying to make us a little bit more patriotic and make us be aware of that we are Australian, because they're putting out flags, so they're just trying to make us aware of our heritage and to be proud to be Australian.
I think it's a day too that we can come together as a nation and just spend that day reflecting and celebrating our uniqueness as a country and our multicultural aspects of our community. And
expect us to do Aussie stuff like eating meat pies and lamingtons and having a lamb on a barbecue. It's not too serious. You're not meant to be, you know, all deep about this. It's meant to be having fun and just doing the things that are not necessarily Australian, but they've adapted as being Australian, like pies and lamingtons and Vegemite and lamb on
lamb
a barbecue
shops. And everywhere you go, you see people with their Australian flags out of their cars, and you're expected to wear stubbies, thongs and hats with corkscrews on them to keep the flies away.
And cricket at the beach. Play cricket on the beach. But we practice it throughout the year, so we get it right on Australia.
We are, as a nation, celebrating one aspect of Australia on one day at the same time.
It is just a time to actually remember it, because, you know, we do the same stuff all year round, but we don't realise how lucky we are to be doing that. Whereas on Australia Day, you know, we're like, wow, we can actually do this.
Does cultural diversity come into the Australia Day, or is it more like a patriotic day?
Australia Day is when it's acceptable to be jingoistic and nationalistic, and it's a white Australia view of what it is to be Australian. There's no cultural diversity in Australia.
What it means to be Australians, but does it also include our Indigenous Australians? How do they feel about Australia Day? Do they celebrate these things with us?
I've been invited to join a group on Facebook, which is like, it's actually Rape, Pillage and Murder Day. It's not Australia Day, it's Invasion and Rape, Pillage and Murder Day. And a lot of Indigenous Australians, I think, and maybe a lot of white Australians see it in that light as well. What are we actually celebrating here? Walking into a country and wiping out the locals and taking over?
Unfortunately, that's a view that a lot of other countries have, and that's why it's important to actually have an Australia Day, so that we can celebrate all the good aspects. And I think really what they're trying to promote is the positive side of being Australian.
Do you reckon like the Indigenous Australians come into it as well? Is that like, have you celebrated with Indigenous Australians?
We're not celebrating the fact that we invaded this country. This is a day that we're supposed to all come together and just celebrate the fact that we're here now.
So Australia Day is an opportunity to celebrate what is best about Australia nowadays, including Vegemite, barbecues and cricket. But some people are also critical of the fact that the image which is projected is a very white perspective, where the Indigenous population do not really play an important role. In our category Absolutely Australian, I took my microphone into the classrooms to find out what it means to be an Australian and what the day actually celebrates. Let us first listen to Mark from England and Meredith and Josh, who are Australians.
My understanding is it's a day to celebrate the Australian nationality, if you like, and I'm looking forward to taking part tomorrow.
Have you experienced an Australia Day, or is it the first one?
First one tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to it.
So what do you expect to happen on that day?
I read about Barbies on the beach, but with the weather being as it is, maybe there won't be one tomorrow, but I'm hoping to wander down into town and see a bit of action, maybe.
Okay, so let's talk to the Australians. What is Australia Day?
Australia Day, January 26th, is when the first fleet landed in Sydney Cove.
Okay.
So it actually celebrates the arrival of the first European Australians in Sydney Cove.
And what do you do on Australia Day, usually?
Typically, someone like myself would go down the beach and we'll have a barbecue and have a lot of beers and go for a swim in the beach. And by the end of the day, there's normally a lot of police getting around and quite a lot of the people that are down on the beaches end up.
Why is that? Why does the police get involved?
Because you're not allowed to drink in public on the beaches. So a lot of the younger guys get down there and drink and they do get into a bit of strife with the law.
So would you say that the original spirit of Australia Day is still there, or is it just a day off where you misbehave?
I think for the younger generation, it's just a day to have a bit of fun and, misbehave a bit rather than celebrating the heritage of your country.
Okay. How is Australia Day portrayed in the media?
I had seen reports of higher police presence was one of the things that caught my eye in the press, which I hadn't expected, actually, to be honest. But
the newspapers, the Queensland newspaper does a big promotion always the Sunday before Australia Day, where if you buy the Sunday paper and with a token, get a free Australia hat that's got the Australian flag all around it. And this year, you got a tea bag plus the rules to backyard cricket. A set of rules for backyard cricket, because that's clearly a lot of people, even on the beach, they're having a game of cricket or across the road in the park and playing cricket.
In our category Absolutely Nationalistic, I asked three international students what they knew about Australia Day and whether they could draw parallels to national or even patriotic celebrations and movements in their own countries. I talked to Daniel from Sweden, Martin from the Netherlands, and Clément from France.
My name is Daniel Schulin. I'm from Sweden and student in international marketing. So far, I've heard that there's a big public party going on all over Australia. Lots of barbecues, lots of drinking.
So what are people celebrating?
I actually don't know that, to be honest.
I'm Martin. I'm from Holland. I have heard about Australia Day, mainly through friends at the campus, Australian friends, and a little bit through the media as well. I actually had this most stereotypical image of people just getting really drunk and barbecuing and playing cricket, and it's been confirmed all over again. All my Australian friends, they told that they're actually getting drunk, go to the beach, barbecue and play cricket.
Hi, so my name is Clément. I'm French, 24. So what I heard about Australian Day is the same thing than my classmates. It's a big party, familial party, barbecue, of course, close to the beach. And I get drunk between friends, but I don't really know where that comes from, this Australian Day. I just know it's a public holiday and a good reason to do a party.
Now, do you have similar occasions in your own countries?
In Sweden we have something called the Midsummer, which is basically, I guess, the same kind of thing going on. People having a big party by the beach, celebrating, family, friends, basically having a party. And Swedish people plan it a long time ago. Definitely is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, public holiday in Sweden.
Well, in Holland we have something called Queen's Day, which used to be celebrated on the day that the Queen had a birthday. I think these days no one actually remembers when the actual birthday of the Queen is, but we celebrate big time. It's pretty much the same. People go out on the streets, dress in the national colours, dress in orange, and just celebrate life. And it's a public holiday, and people just mainly get really, really drunk as well,
How about La Grande Nation?
I think in France we can compare the Australian Day with the work day, La Fête du Travail, which means nobody is working in France. It's the 1st of May.
Okay.
And I think, we can compare with that. Nobody is working and doing party.
Now, I know that nationalism is changing a little bit around the world, but particularly in Europe, I think. I've noticed that particularly in Germany during the football World Championship, for the first time it was acceptable to use the German flag in the street. And I must say, for me, this is still very difficult to accept.
Well, we had the same problem in Sweden, actually, especially with flags and with the national anthem and things like that. It's been forbidden to have the Swedish flag and sing the national anthem in school celebrations and in churches and things like that, which I think it's kind of sad, but at the same time I understand where it's coming from. So we have a similar kind of thinking as the German people, I guess.
Well, in Holland there is a general movement towards a little bit more nationalism. Not publicly, so not in schools, because they accept different cultures and religions, but because we have a lot of immigrants who are proud of their nationality and their cultures, that there's this contra movement in Dutch people that they really want to bring out their flags and want to show that the Dutch culture is equally important and should be memorized. So there's actually a movement towards nationalism a little bit.
I think French people love France, they love their culture, they want to protect him, but the word nationalism, it's really not a good word in France.
It is interesting to see that it is not only the Australians who sometimes struggle a little bit with the patriotic aspect of this national holiday. The European students report that although in some countries nationalism is on the rise, many people have their difficulties explicitly celebrating it. Before we come back to Australia Day, I would like to introduce you to my neighbours here in Australia, Simone and Leonardo from Switzerland. Their background is so multicultural that it would perhaps be difficult for them to be too nationalistic. For our category Absolutely Diverse, I got interested in these two when I noticed that mother and son were using several different languages, even between them, during an ordinary day.
My name is Simone Cheika Hernandez Bonelli. I'm from Switzerland. My first last name is Czech, the second is Spanish, and the third is Italian. And so I'm a really mixed person. Cheika is Czech, Hernandez is Spanish, and Bonelli is Italian. And just my first name is really, I could say, Swiss somehow, because Simone could be a French name.
Okay.
And I've got two middle names, like Vlasta, Nadezhda. The second is Czech, and the third is even Russian. So
okay.
My family has got a really multicultural background somehow, and that's maybe why I have so many different names.
I noticed before I came up to you that you were talking in different languages. I observed that for a while, and then I got so interested that I thought I need to find out about that. What is that all about?
I grew up with German, Swiss, that I would say are my native languages. And my parents were from the Czech Republic, so they spoke Czech between each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up with Czech as well. And I try to keep the language alive. And when I'm with my mother or people from the Czech Republic, so I always speak Czech. I think I'm really mixed because I grew up in Switzerland. So my parents cooked Czech meals as well, of course. Mm-hmm. But we also cooked Swiss meals or German or Italian stuff, because I have an aunt in Germany, an aunt in Italy, so all my holidays I spent either in Germany or in Italy. So I brought all these things with me when I came home. So I always told my mother, oh, I'd like to have, for example, mozzarella and tomatoes, like the caprese,
mm-hmm.
and other things from Germany, like
best of all worlds.
Yes,
you
right.
get the dumplings from the Czech Republic and the caprese from Italy.
Yes.
Now, your son, why do you not speak German with him all the time? I mean, already in Switzerland, you would have a number of languages that you would speak. So naturally, you would probably speak Swiss German with him, wouldn't you?
Maybe I should, yes. That's what the doctor said. he was telling me off because of that. And I told him it's impossible just to speak Swiss German or German with him or just Czech, because it depends on the situations I am in with him. So when I'm with him, like private, so I try to speak Czech with him normally, or maybe Swiss, it depends on what we are talking about. And it also can be that we sometimes speak English because I'm traveling a lot with him, so he hears me in different languages, and when he hears me speaking English, so he tries to speak English as well.
So he would answer in the language in which you speak to him?
Not always. Sometimes I'm speaking Czech with him and he answers in Swiss. Sometimes he starts speaking Czech with me, I answer in Swiss or German or whatever, English. Mm-hmm. So we just mix it up as we like.
Is it connected to certain emotions, or is it connected to certain stories? Or do you realize in which situations you would speak Czech to him?
Yes, so for example, when I tell him off, I usually speak Czech. So that's maybe also...
Is that one of his favorite languages now?
No, probably not. But it is like I chose Czech because hardly anybody can understand Czech. So I don't want anybody to know that I'm telling him off.
Okay.
And he knows when I'm speaking Czech, so it's very serious.
Okay.
So then it's like no other choice.
Believe me, I was very confused when I saw Simona and Leonardo for the first time. From where I was sitting, I thought I could distinctly hear about 5 or 6 people talking in 3 different languages. But when I looked up, I could only see 2 and had to realize that these 2 were actually using all 3 languages between them. Before we come back to them and hear how Leonardo learned so many languages, now in our category Absolutely Barbie, I would like to come back to Australia Day one last time and share with you what my new mate Len told me about the unifying qualities of the Australian barbecue.
I was talking to my wife just the day before yesterday about the significance of Australia Day, and she was of the opinion that the 26th of January was the date that Australia was actually discovered by Captain Cook, where I was always of the opinion that was the date of the first fleet arriving in Botany Bay in Sydney,
yeah,
or Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
So that sort of started a conversation.
Right.
So, but that was always my impression, that Australia Day was a celebration of the date that Australia was actually colonised by virtue of the First Fleet.
I noticed that somehow there seems to be an agenda that somehow the government wants to achieve something through that Australia Day. Would you be able to describe that a little?
I think that what the government is trying to do is make a one of the country, a family as such, a pride, which it always has been, but with sort of multiculturalism and so forth, and there's been the problems that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Australian government is trying to nurture this. Like even now you see a lot of miniature Australian flags, which 10 or 15 years ago you wouldn't have seen that. You would have seen it in odd little groupings, but now you'll see quite a lot of shops with Australia flags on it, and cars going around with flags on their aerials.
So what is this thing about barbecue and Australia Day?
Australia has always been predominantly an outdoor country where barbecues... I'll come over to your place, Lawrence, and we'll have a barbecue.
Okay.
And I think that they're trying to sort of knit Australia Day as an outdoors picnic, barbecue, fun type day.
Do you think that maybe the barbecue could be the common denominator, the link between all these parts of society? City and countryside, bush, I don't know, indigenous communities, white communities, etc.?
I think what the significance is, that doesn't matter what social level you may be on,
uh-huh,
I believe that always a barbecue is acceptable. Whether you have a barbecue sausage or a barbecue fillet steak, is another thing, but a barbecue is always acceptable by any strata of society.
I've already noticed that some politicians have started doing special Australia Day speeches. Anything else that we can expect from the government at that point?
Yes, people that have come from other countries that have applied for permanent residency and citizenship here, they are awarded their certificate of citizenship on Australia Day.
On that day, okay.
And I think that that is quite significant as a day that Australia sort of celebrates, people sort of welcoming new citizens, permanent citizens.
In our last category, absolutely multilingual, we come back to Simona and Leonardo, where I understand how Leonardo learned some of the languages through exposure to the new media and children's books, and how during their stay here in Australia, he was integrated very easily into the local school. I asked Simona which languages Leonardo speaks fluently in his everyday life.
So he speaks Czech. That's what I would speak with him normally at home.
Yeah.
Then at school he used to learn Swiss, that's a dialect, then the German.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two languages he must learn. And he speaks English, and I never taught him English I never told him to speak in English. And that was amazing for me as well when I realized the first time that he was speaking with his toys English.
Okay.
So I just came into his bedroom and he was playing with his trains and he was telling the trains, now go forward, backward.
How does he know the words for this?
That I was also surprised. How does he know all the stuff and all the vocabulary? And he just learned it from watching TV, or he watched his trailers. And these trailers were, for example, on the iPad. And I just showed him once how to use the iPad. And then he just knew, there are the favorites, like Thomas the Tank Engine. He's very fond of trains. So I showed him how to get into the internet there.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized, how to save it.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it was no question. He always watched anything in English.
How old is he?
He now will be 7 in 1 week, and
right.
He already knew when he was 3 how to use my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first access he had to internet. And then I had an iPad, and from then on he was really like, he had his portable TV. And so he sometimes brings it with him into his bedroom. He watches a sequence or a film, and then he plays it. He copies the whole play in his bedroom. So that's what he really likes to do.
So what is he doing in Australia now?
So that's because of me. I came here to improve my English skills, and I just took him with me because I don't want to leave him alone at home. And so he had to follow me, and he must go now to an Australian school here. So we are here for 4 months, and he is going to a school here near where I go to school, and he started his term 2 weeks ago, and he's really happy with his class.
Well, it reminds me that Leonardo is actually a European program for lifelong learning, so I can see that this is really put into practice. If you go to school and he's going to school, so that's really putting Leonardo into practice. How is he integrating at school? Is that difficult? Because, I mean, that must be a real shock when he arrives there and everybody speaks English only.
Not at all. He just was there. The teacher asked the first question and he got the first answer. And it was really natural for him. And I was surprised how natural he is, how natural he behaves. And for him, it's not a problem to socialize with others. And the teacher said that they have a person who speaks Swiss, just in case he would not understand.
Mm-hmm.
She would assist her the whole day to help Leonardo to get through, but there was no need. So she was a bit disappointed, the old lady who spoke Swiss. And
that she couldn't
said,
be of any service.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. We've arrived at the end of our show. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 2nd of March. And I would like to close this show with another extract from the Australian Prime Minister's speech about what is worth celebrating in Australia.
Freedom and opportunity, reward for effort, and a land of wide open spaces, not just geographically, but wide spaces of the mind and heart to dream big dreams and imagine different, better futures free of fear.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.